This is a tape for Heritage Development. Today's date is the 28th of July, 1982. The narrator, say your name, please.
Is Sister Mary Killen.
And the interviewer is Sister Sally Witt. We're at St. Joseph Convent in Bayview, Pennsylvania. Sister Mary Killen, I wanted to ask you some things about your early life and about your parents. Where were you born?
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on April 21st, 1912.
Where in Pittsburgh?
Hazelwood. And I was baptized in St. Stephen's Church in Hazelwood. My parents were Joseph L. Wheeler, and my mother was Mary Booth Wheeler. They were married when they were 26 years of age. And I was born 2 years later. And I was the oldest of three children. I had two brothers, Raymond B. Wheeler and Thomas F. Wheeler. We moved to the north side when we were quite small children and lived in an apartment right across the street from Annunciation Church until we were about, I was about 5 years old, and we moved to 2609 Mulan Avenue, where I lived until I entered the Community of Sisters of St. Joseph. My father was a proofreader at the Pittsburgh Press all his life. And mother was a housewife all of her life. The three of us attended Annunciation School, all of us through the eighth grade there, and I went through the high school there. My two brothers attended a public high school, Fury High and Conley Trade School, respectively. I became interested. I've always wanted to be a Sister of St. Joseph, particularly from the fifth grade onward. And I think that the inspiration came to me from the Sisters of St. Joseph who had been in school. I entered at the conclusion of my high school Annunciation, and I entered in September the 8th, 1930. Am I leaving things out?
Well, tell you what, I'll probably ask.
I entered with two of my girlfriends from Annunciation, Sarah O'Donnell, who became Sister Joseph Mary, or Joseph Mary, and Annette Joseph Mary O'Donnell, and Sister Dolores Riddle, who has since deceased.
Who were some of the first sisters that you got to know when you were a child?
Well, I had Sister Eugenia, who was my just deceased, of course, was my first grade teacher. Sister Chrysostom was my second grade teacher. Teresita was my third. Mary Ida was my fourth. Or Dominic was fourth, I think. Mary Ida was the fifth. I know the sixth one, but I can't think of her name. And the seventh was Sister Gabriel. And the eighth grade was Sister Coletta. And my high school teachers were Sister Cecilia and Sister Florence. Sister Cecilia was my whom I approached when I was considering entering the community, and I she really helped me to prepare to end it.
Do you remember any of the things about me? Any of them in particular?
Well, I was particularly fond of Sister Mary Ida. She was a great inspiration to me. And Sister Cecilia made a very deep impression on me. I really loved her. The other sisters were all very good. I liked them all, some better than others. But they were all very good teachers. And I was usually a very good student.
Can you remember, especially in grade school, the sizes of the classes that you had at that time?
Classes would range, I guess, about, it seems to me that I had 50. And most of them. Of course, in high school, we were kind of a select group. We were the first high school student, up in the high school in 1930. And I think we had about 23 students in the high school. We were the first graduating class from the Annunciation High School.
Did it start as a four-year high school?
Yes, it started as a four-year high school. And it was really a very good experience.
Was it just girls' school?
It was just all girls. And they came from various parishes. They were not just Annunciation grade school and graduates. They were from all over the area. One as far as Perrysville, St. Teresa's of Perrysville. The others were like from Nativity Parish, Yalu, and so forth. Most of them. We graduated in 1930. And I think I was graduated with honors. I have to tell me. Nobody wants to know.
Did he ever talk about that, or did you know what
he was? Oh, yes. I knew very much what Dad was doing. And he was very fortunate in that he never lost a day of work during the Depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very fortunate. He was a very dedicated man to his work. I mean, even when the paper was on, or the streetcars were on strike, he walked from our home down the Mount Northside Extension over to the Pittsburgh Press. I mean, he was a very dedicated man, a very religious man, very good man, very good father, very considerate father, a real family man, and had really had only an eighth grade education, but was, you know, much beyond that in his knowledge. He had good common sense. He had a terrific sense of humor. A subtle sense of humor, but very good.
Did you inherit that?
Some of it.
Okay.
He was very close to me. I mean, I was the only girl. We did a lot of things together, and I was the one who had the closest ties to his family. Was the kind of a man who would, if we were sick, or he never would come home without bringing something. After he had greeted mother, he always greeted her with a kiss. He would go upstairs and bring us all the presents, see how we were doing and so forth. And in our house, nobody went to bed without kissing everybody. Mm-hmm. They had to say goodnight and kiss them goodbye. My dad was a very wise man. I said, he used to say, you know, if everybody knows everything about you, as much as you know about yourself, you cease to be interesting. And he would impress, one time, he would help me correct my essays and so forth in high school. And one time I wrote a very glowing account of what I was going to be and what I was going to do, and, you know, and he wouldn't let me hand it in. He said, you don't need to say that you're going to be a sister and tell the world yet. How do you know? You might change your mind. And he said that then. He said, you could be a little embarrassed. He said, you don't have to. There's some things you have to keep to yourself. And he was very wise. And he was very good to my mother. Very good to my mother. And he and mother would arrange outings for us in the summer. And then in the winter, we'd go to different places. On his day off, if we had a free day at the same time, he always took us to town to a movie and take to lunch. He was a real, very considerate, very holy man, really holy. In fact, he really, however, did not want me to enter. I think the reason was that I was the only girl. We were very, very, very close. And I think he felt that I was a little prejudiced against marriage through experiences I had had, I guess. And he really didn't want me to enter. In fact, the night before I entered, he cried for about 3 hours. I couldn't get him to stop. And my brother did the same thing. But mother was quite stoic about the whole thing. And my grandmother says he went over to her house every Sunday for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, cried every Sunday. But the morning that I was going to enter, I went over to Mass at the Annunciation, and he went too. And he didn't go to Mass, but he was on his way to work. And he stopped right in front of the church and kissed me and said, well, dear, I want to kiss you goodbye. In front of the one you're going to serve.
Pardon?
In front of the one that you're going to serve.
Oh, dear.
My dad went to Mass every morning at the point before he went to work. We used to wonder why he left home so early. And, when he didn't have to be there until 8 or 8:30. But he went to the point every morning to Mass. And as I said, he was a very good man. You know something?
I wanted to ask you about your father, where he was born.
Well, Dad is born in Pittsburgh off Joseph Wheeler and Margaret Carmen Wheeler. They lived on the north side near us all our lives. And we used to visit, you know, frequently.
Were they born?
He had two sisters and 3 brothers. And I think they were all also born in Pittsburgh.
What about his parents? Were they born in this country?
They were born in this country, yes. And I'm not too sure about the big grandparents. I think they may have been too. I'm not too sure about that.
What ethnic background did they have?
I would say that it was Irish and Welsh ethnic background. Yeah. I think Carlin is Irish and Wheeler, I think, is. Well, way back, the Wheeler was an Anglo-Saxon chieftain, so I think he would be, you know, well, sure. I'm not too sure about that.
You seem to know the names and the maiden names and all your family mm-hmm. real well. Was that something that your family studied?
No, we just knew each other and loved each other and we knew that.
What about your mother then? You said she was a housewife. What did that entail?
Well, taking care of my father and the three children. And she, in those days, it entailed the rubbing clothes on the board and hanging them in the yard, you know. Mm-hmm. Mother was a very good cook, not much of a baker. She always was, she was prayerful. We came to our knowledge that very often as she went around about her housework during the day, she would utter prayers, you know. She was very supportive to us and very good to us. And she was the disciplinarian of the family. My father was inclined to tell us, go a bit. In fact, when we would carry on at night, as we always did, when we were sent up to bed, Mother would come up the steps and chastise us, and my dad, I could hear him at the bottom of the steps saying, marry their only children. mm-hmm. And when I'd be sent to bed without supper, which would happen occasionally, he would sooner or later make his way to me with something. You know, I mean, it was, Mother had to be strict because, you know, we just would have been too bad if she hadn't been. But she loved us and she was very kind to us. She kept us very clean and helped us with our studies. She was very good at that. And I can still see her sitting in our living room hearing my biology notes and so forth before I go to school. She kept a very neat, clean house. And our meals were always well done. We always had plenty in the cupboard for visitors. She was very hospitable, and I remember every day at 4 o'clock, she would go upstairs and wash and put on a clean house dress before my father would come out. She always, she and Dad always kissed, greeted each other with a kiss when we came to work. She respected my dad's wishes very, very exactly, you know. And if there was anything special, she'd say, watch, you know, you work with your father. Your father takes it, you know. She always had candy around, but we were not permitted to take it without asking. Dad could go any time, so we got quickly to Dad off. Very often we got to Dad. But she was, well, it was right that she restricted us because we just wouldn't have been able to. Another thing, when we would be going to bed, we'd want a lunch, we'd want cookies and so forth, and she'd say no. You're hungry, you'll take a piece of bread for your mom. And Mother was a very good neighbor. I don't believe that any baby in our neighborhood was born in our neighborhood that my mother didn't assist. Mm. And when we got our car, which was a lot later than a lot of people got cars, the first thing she did with it was to see that my paralyzed cousin was taken out for rides, or even taken as far as Ohio to stay with her brother occasionally. Mother was the one who organized parties among the cousins and things like that. She was the first to be at any of the relatives who had a death in the family. In fact, when my mother died, one of my cousins said to me, well, Mary's gone, who's going to bury us? Who's going to take care of us? So Mother was a very, very kind, charitable person. I resented at the time because sometimes when she'd go to one of the neighbors in the middle of the night, she'd call me and she'd say, listen, dear, I'd like you to get the trip, get Granddaddy off to work. And that meant fixing grapefruit, which I detested. Perry. And so I used to and sometimes wish you were quite so generous. But she gave us good example. I was very thankful. And the neighbors loved her as they did too. Mother had only a fifth grade education. Her father, her mother, Catherine Evans Booth, was a very brief character, very meaningful. And her husband, Thomas B. Booth, my grandfather, my mother's father, was not a Catholic until he was 72, until he came to live with us. And when Grandma died, Mother said to him, and that was my father's consent. In fact, my father was so kind to him that everybody thought it was his father. She said, "We don't have room in our house, Dad, but you may come and stay with us, and we'll get you a room across the street where you can sleep and retire to when you want to, but you can eat with us and live with us." And that's what they did. I mean, they brought him with us, but those were the circumstances, because our house was not big enough. We didn't have enough bedroom for one more person. And so Mother was I think a very beautiful character, too.
What was her ethnic background?
Mother was, well, I think Evans, I think that's sort of English in a way. I think both Booth is English, I think. And Evans, I'm not too sure. I think is a sort of an English there. I was just never sure. I always thought he was a little Irish there with Grandma. I didn't know her parents. But I was very close to, well, in fact, all my grandparents, but especially to my mother's parents. I had only one aunt and uncle on mother's side, and my aunt died during the 1972 flu epidemic. She was pregnant with twins, and she died at that time. But her brother died then many years after. He married. One boy of his own, and the wife he was born and married, and had two children. He had three
children. Sounds like you were finishing high school around the beginning of the Depression.
In 1930, mm-hmm. Yes. I think that we were into it a little bit, because I remember, I guess I'm remembering more the war years of 17 and so on, how there was such a shortage of things at that time. My mother, you know, borrowing things and people borrowing things from us and so forth. I remember a lot of that. The Depression never seemed to really affect us much. In fact, it wasn't even discussed much in our house. I guess because Dad always had this regular job. And I should have remembered it more than I did. I remember after I started teaching, when I got into the community, I remember some things about it more than I did at home.
How did it affect the community?
Well, and for instance, at St. Raphael's, I taught at St. Raphael's in 1932, I guess it was, and the youngsters there would take turns going home for lunch. You know, one day they'd go home for lunch, and the next day they wouldn't. It wasn't their turn.
You mean another child in the family?
Another child in the family would not.
Oh.
And so what we did when we found out why these children were not going home for lunch, wasn't so many children, but children, we fed them and taught them. We saw that they had food that day. Because we asked them, why aren't you going home for lunch? And they said, it's not my turn. So, and we also, I also know from there that people were eating out of garbage cans. But, I get mixed up in the different things that happened, the rationing. I think that was rationing and so forth. That must have been the war. Because that was later on when I was a boy, I was here at that time.
go back to your home a little bit, and I'm going to ask you about your brothers and their interests.
Well, I had two brothers, Raymond, that was the older, and Tom was 4 years younger, 3 years younger than me. And Ray became a, he went to Perry High, and then he went on to Colony Trade School in printing. And then he went into the war. He was in the Second World War, I think. And he was in the war for like 4 years, I guess. And when he came out of the war, he married Kathleen Olin. And because he wanted to get into the union, the printers union, and could not seem to do so in Pittsburgh, they moved, and he was just young, he just married. They moved to Niles, Ohio, where they were promised them, they had been living with her parents, where they, he granted a printer's job there, and there was an apartment at that time that went with the job, so that they had their own, you know, home, an apartment, and there they had their first little baby. Ray remained with the, and he got into the union there, and he remained with the Niles Times until last year when he retired.
Oh my.
And Tom was a, went to the, I think he went to Perry High, I'm not too sure whether he finished or not, and he studied. He was in, he liked the electrical shop that he connected with that. And he went into that sort of thing. But Tom was what they call a hemophiliac. He was a bleeder. And that sort of colored his life because he felt that he should never marry, although he was ignorant of the fact that that disease is transmitted by the female, not the male. But he had that idea, and he just never married. The war came along, and he went into the war too. And but he was only in the service about a month. They never should have accepted him because of his health. But he was given a medical discharge 1 month before Pearl Harbor, and he had been stationed in Pearl Harbor. And he came home, and after he came home, he worked at various jobs. He, for the most part, I don't remember some of the jobs, but one of the things he did was drive a taxi. He was a taxi driver. And he had very many episodes of bleeding. You know, he'd been in hospitals and so forth. He did with my mother after my father died. He came to, after mother died, he came to work at St. Joseph's Hospital as an elevator operator and chauffeur. And while he was there, he didn't feel too well this one day. And so I gave him some aspirin. I thought it was cold. And 2 days later, he roomed in a rooming house right around the hospital there. 2 days later, in the middle of the night, the sisters came and told him he'd been found dead, but he had been dead about 2 days. And they wanted to know how much aspirin I'd given him because he was found with the aspirin. Well, I hadn't given him enough for him to do anything wrong with it if he wanted to. But I understand that what happened was he took some and he choked. You know how aspirin has that coat?
Yes.
And it probably hemorrhaged his throat hemorrhaged. And he died, I guess he died in 1960. He was about 40. Oh, about 44 or something like that. He died. But he had a very, very keen sense of humor. Ray had a keen sense of humor too, but I think Thomas was even, you know, more so. He was a very jolly heavier set fellow than my brother, Ray. Ray is thin like I'd like to be. But so that's their story.
I suggest this.
Ray married, I did say he married, and they had six children. They're all grown up. One is not married. The other three are married and have several children. I think a particular note is this one. Lisa Marie has six youngsters. She had four of her own, and she adopted two handicapped children, whom she has had fully repaired. So that I think she's carrying on my mother and dad's tradition.
No, let's conclude for right now.
Mm-hmm.